Today's edition of the Between the Ropes podcast is brought to you by Suplex Apparel. Find them online at suplexapparel.com. They're a UK-based clothing brand. They work with a team of professional wrestlers like Zack Sabre Jr., Prince Devitt, Adam Cole, and others. And right now, they've got their winter range out. Jackets, hoodies, hats, rucksacks, t-shirts, and more for both men and for women. It's pro wrestling-focused clothing for wrestlers and for fans. And they ship worldwide. Anywhere in the world, you can get this great gear. Become part of the Suplex Apparel team. Check them out online. It's suplexapparel.com.
Let's do this.
Woo!
Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
This is the Between the Ropes podcast. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I am Brian Fritz. He is Michael Wiseman, as we're here to talk about professional wrestling with a lot going on, especially in WWE, and a big weekend coming up on Sunday in particular. Well, actually, on Saturday as well. We got NXT TakeOver, plus we have Survivor Series. What do you
4 hours, baby! 4 hours of Survivor Series. How many multi-man tag matches can you handle in one sitting?
The funny thing is, right now, only six matches have been announced for Survivor Series.
Uh-huh.
But it is a four-hour show. And for the main show, we don't even know if there's matches on the pre-show.
You're looking at it all wrong, Fritzy. It's not. They're not four matches. They're like four matches inside of four matches, okay? Mm. When you have this five-on-five dynamic with five pinfalls for five guys, that's like, let's see, that's like five times three plus the 10-man tag match.
Mike, you're doing the math wrong there, okay? When they do the five-on-fives, there could be nine pinfalls in that match.
Jesus.
Because remember, it's elimination
like
style.
Matches.
It's elimination style. I mean, you could have just one person survive.
It's why they call it Survive or Series. Right? Survive or Series, man. Woo.
Wait till they get to the 10-on-10 elimination tag team match.
It's just going to be incredible. You know what makes these matches so great too, Fritzy, is the fact that there are a bunch of guys there. Like, if you don't like one-on-one matches, like, this is your show, right? Because you get to see 20 guys in the ring at the same time. Like, this is everything. This is what wrestling was made. This is ultimate professional wrestling. Ultimate.
We will run down all of Survivor Series. We will talk a little bit about TakeOver the night before as well in Toronto. What are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking, wait, listen for it. You know, you didn't hear anything?
Yeah.
You know why? Because I buy my beer on tap like a grown ass man, okay? That's right. I'll put it in a growler and I'll pour it in my glass. Okay? So in this glass right here, this glass I'm drinking, New Belgium Black Lager, because 'tis the season for a little bit darker beer.
Look at you.
Uh-huh. You know.
Going with the Black Lager.
The Black Lager, man. It's what you got to do. Get your beer on tap, kids. Get your beer on tap.
Do you know, while it's not to the date, but this year's Survivor Series, especially being in Toronto, harkens back to Survivor Series 1997 of 19 years past when the Montreal Screwjob took place.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Do you think we will get Canada. Do you think we will get a Montreal Screwjob reference or a Screwjob during one of the matches?
Michael, it's just like 1997, Michael. This is what happened in 1997. I'm telling you, Michael. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be JBL.
What is the better chance of happening? Okay. A Montreal Screwjob-esque thing happening on the show, or during the pre-show, Jerry Lawler calls Toronto Bizarro World.
I think the latter is a given.
That has to be a given, right?
Right. I think if there's a Montreal Screwjob, I guess that's how you get yourself out of this weird booking predicament you have between Brock Lesnar and Goldberg, is with the Montreal Screwjob part D.
Well, so let's talk quickly about Raw. Okay, so the interaction between Lesnar and Goldberg, I thought was really good. I think they've done a great job in building up that match. Between the times that each of them have been on television over the past few weeks, to even the sit-down video package that they put together where Brock was awesome, like he typically is in those. I'm always wondering what kind of different dynamic that they can bring to the table when they're talking about a face-to-face or guys are going to be in the ring. And I was worried that, like, these guys were already going to, fight in the ring before Survivor Series. That's something that I'm not a big fan of, is seeing the guys mix it up before a big match, unless it's like one of these big, wild, pull-apart brawls. And I think you can only do that so often. But it was a different element to have all the, quote-unquote security guards in there. And, Paul Heyman kept trying to talk to Goldberg, and Goldberg was cutting him off, which is something that would really happen in that kind of environment. You wouldn't stand there and let the guy cut a promo on you. In the end, Heyman said, "Hey, Brock is going to beat you so bad that your son is going to call him daddy," which I thought was fantastic. And Goldberg started throwing bodies around, and Lesnar acted like he was going to fight, but then he walked off. And I thought they did a fantastic job with it. I think it really builds up the excitement for the match.
I couldn't agree more. I think that second week when they came out with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman in Minnesota, I think that was a definite miss. But it seems like they've rebounded pretty well. Lesnar has had some Lesnar's had some good moments of intensity, but I think more surprising, Bill Goldberg has had some really good promos. I mean, promos better than he had back in his heyday. So I've been very impressed with that part of it. I'm sure Goldberg's been around the media a lot more in the past 15 years, so he's learned that. But I've been very impressed with Goldberg. But you're right, that intense showdown Monday night sold this. It was a great go-home moment. They didn't have to fight. Goldberg was jacked up. Brock Lesnar was being kind of the snarky heel. Paul Heyman was on fire. It has been a good build, and I am looking forward to this match. As terrible as the one at WrestleMania was, I think this has potential if they give it its due diligence and if we have a clean finish. Because the problem they have with Brock Lesnar matches are all these fluky finishes where nobody actually wins. So,
well, here's the thing I wonder if we should be worried about. So Bill Goldberg did an interview, and he said that following Raw, his body feels horrible, and he said he tweaked his shoulder. Now, he did say, come Survivor Series, I'll be ready to kick some ass. But that's not a great sign. And I know that he trains Muay Thai and he keeps himself in fantastic shape. It's just different once you get in a wrestling ring and you're throwing around human bodies, in that kind of manner. And plus, the adrenaline, the excitement of being out there in front of a crowd and putting on a performance is so much different than just being in a gym and training in a sport.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people are kind of worried about the match anyway. It's not going to be some great, piece of art. I think it'd be fine, and I'm sure they're going to let them do all the bells and whistles, and they're probably going to keep it to like 10, maybe 12 minutes at most. But when you start hearing about it, he's already banged up, makes me a little bit more worried about it. I mean, Bill is a pro. He'll go out there and he wants to put on as good a performance as anybody does, but that's not a good sign that he already does not feel good following the limited interaction he had on Monday.
It's always been my concern, right, that Goldberg is going to come out and not be ring ready for this match. Not because he's not an athlete, as you mentioned, that Muay Thai every day, it puts you in intense shape. But ring shape is something totally different.
Didn't he say like 3 weeks ago he still hadn't been in a wrestling ring to train?
Yeah, something crazy. Like, he had been in it one time. It was his first time back in a ring. And he said there was nothing, you can't simulate that, right?
Yeah.
So I've had this concern for a while that, Goldberg is not quite ready to be in the ring. And if the truth about the signing coming down so late in the wire was true, whether or not he was actually, whether this was planned out 3 months ago, 6 months ago, or actually happened.
Wait
in
a second.
August.
Are you saying that Bill Goldberg might have fibbed to me when we talked to him at SummerSlam?
All I'm saying is Bill Goldberg.
What?
About
You're blowing my
head.
Mind here right now. How dare just, he?
It just worries me. It worries me that I feel like he's not in quite the right ring shape, because you have to build that back up. If you remember Brock Lesnar's first match back, he wasn't taking a whole lot of bumps. He was out there just fighting and fist fighting with John Cena. So it takes a while for your body to get reacclimated, and it's hard to do a one-off in the wrestling business after 15 years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and remember, Goldberg is almost 50 years old. So, I mean, your body is going to be a little bit rougher when you're not taking bumps and you're that age. I mean, he's in incredible shape for a guy that age, though. But yes. it's just yes. a different thing once you get out there. And like I said, the adrenaline's going. You're out under the lights in front of the crowd. And things are happening, you know. And he's tossing around human bodies the way that he is. You know, he's not just delivering knees or doing whatever. I mean, he threw people around, you know. Yep. And he's got a big hoss that he has to go in there and try to throw around on Sunday in Brock Lesnar, which is, I mean, that's 300 pounds a man right there. So
yep.
it's going to be interesting to see how they do it, you know. But, I mean, bottom line is, I don't know how much tossing around he's going to be doing of Lesnar. Lesnar's going to be doing probably a lot of tossing around of Goldberg just because of the styles. You know,
yeah,
Lesnar's
yeah.
going to be the one doing a lot of suplexes probably. Or at least a few. I don't know about a lot, but he'll at least do a few. I don't think we're going to get to like what he did to John Cena at SummerSlam a couple of years ago.
The 21 suplexes or
whatever that number was. Yeah, I don't think we're going to get to that point. But
that was such a weird moment in wrestling history, that whole bizarro world where John Cena literally just got dominated for 30 minutes. He just got the crap beat out of him. And then Goldberg won. I mean, Lesnar won. And then did they ever have a rematch? Did they ever come back to that? I don't think so.
They did. I think
but
they did.
But Lesnar still won.
Right. And yeah. rightfully so.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that you were worried about some kind of a screw job finish uh-huh. between Goldberg and Lesnar.
Uh-huh.
I think Lesnar's got to win it, but there is a potential for something wonky going on. Now,
yeah, you know what happens, don't you? I'm going to throw the prediction out here right now.
Okay.
The prediction is that Shane McMahon calls for the bell. McMahon screw job, right? Over Lesnar, Goldberg gets the win.
I didn't even think about that, but it does make
set you up your Lesnar Shane McMahon storyline.
Yeah, because that's the rumor right now, is we could get Shane O'Mac against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania next year, which is going to greatly disappoint Kevin Owens and a lot of fans too. You know what? Another theory that's being bounced around by some people.
Okay.
And I'll throw a little extra layer onto this. Okay. So in NXT for the last couple of years, it's always felt like someone loses the championship, but they still stay. They lose the rematch and then they get called up. And we've seen that happen with Finn Balor.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Owens was the champion when he got called up. It at least happened to Balor. And there's always like, if you drop the title, are you getting called up? Okay. So Samoa Joe obviously dropped the title to Shinsuke Nakamura at TakeOver before WrestleMania. Now they're going to have the rematch. And the belief is that Nakamura is going to win. And he's not going anywhere.
Sure.
So what if it was Samoa Joe getting called up, and what if he was the one that interfered in that match?
Will it have the right level of impact, though?
Well, that's the thing, because to me, I don't want to see that. Because
no.
I think that's the wrong way to introduce anybody, much less Samoa Joe. And I'm sure they would try to explain it on Raw, but I'd need to know, why would he interfere in that match? Why would he interject himself?
Right. Other than to quote-unquote start a feud, which, okay, you lost your title, and the next night you're going to start a feud. I could see him coming out on Monday night and calling out Brock Lesnar.
Yes, I could see that. I would like that a little bit more, but I guess the yeah. only reason thing you could say about if he got involved in the match is saying, hey, everybody says you got to make a mark. You've got to do something big to really make an impact, and that's what I did, is I got involved in this huge match at Survivor Series.
Yeah,
who knows if Joe's getting called up or not?
Will the casual fan? My question is too: will the casual fan get it? Now, I don't know if that matters, because you had the Shield debut interfering in a main event of a pay per view, and it clicked and it worked, and those guys are all super over now. But it just yeah.
Well, I will say this: the show's in Toronto. Toronto is a very smart wrestling crowd.
Uh-huh.
They know Samoa Joe. And a lot of it's going to be based on the initial reaction somebody gets if they if and when they debut. Okay? So if and this is still just nothing more than a far-fetched rumor right now. Who knows, okay? It's just some people theorizing. But say it was to happen, Toronto would be a good place for it to happen, I think, just because I think the crowd would go nuts there because you've got a big crowd, a very smart crowd, and I think they would go crazy for not only the pay-per-view, but Raw is in Toronto the following night, I believe. I think it would be the right city to have it happen, it's a good city to have it happen in, but it still remains to be seen if something like that is going to happen, or even if they bring up Samoa Joe, is that where they would want to put him? Is with a Brock Lesnar, or would they have ideas to put him with somebody else?
He would be a good fit. So I guess I have two feelings on it, right? Number one, he's a great matchup for a Brock Lesnar feud or a Kevin Owens feud. I would love to see those guys fight it out. Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe could put on a clinic of just the big guy with quick movement and really brutal wrestling, brutal chops, etc. However, I think Samoa Joe, if he comes out, if he debuts, he goes on SmackDown.
I would say Raw.
You have that niche filled with Kevin Owens. You don't need the big bad guy heel and Brock Lesnar, right? You need somebody like that on SmackDown.
You do, but at the same time, I would say for Raw, they probably need another body or two because being a longer show, and it sure feels like the Cruiserweight division is going to be moving over to SmackDown.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, don't quit. You have been throwing out predictions all night that are, you're killing my soul.
And that's what I do. I'm a soul crusher. I'm like the Undertaker now. What did he say? He's digging holes and taking souls. That's what I'm doing, right? And remember too, okay, because we'll talk about the Undertaker right now. So Taker comes out on SmackDown and threatens anybody that loses in the men's 5-on-5 match for Survivor Series and says, "Hey, you lose this match, you got to deal with me." And Taker basically said, "My career, my legacy is not going to be defined by WrestleMania, and I'm back." So it looks like he's back on a part-time basis. Remember, it wasn't too long ago, all these pictures were popping up of him on crutches and whatnot. And now he's back and he's going to wrestle. And I don't know how often he's going to wrestle, but it sure felt like not only would he be at WrestleMania next year, but maybe he would be at the Royal Rumble.
Isn't it so weird, though? It's just, he came out last night and threatened his own teammates. Like, what's he going to do? He's going to tombstone them all? Like, oh, you guys lost, I'm going to beat you up. Like, that seems counterintuitive.
He's going to take somebody out. He's going to hold them accountable, man. It's like when Shawn Michaels was threatening not to drop the belt to Steve Austin and Taker had to stand there and tape his fists right there in gorilla position. That's what he's doing. He just did it in front of the public last night.
It was just a weird. It was good to see him back. But it was just weird the way he phrased that. And then also when he says, not only that, it was like he was saying he was back, but he was kind of vague about if he was just back for one night or back for, you know.
Did you want him to go Eminem? Guess who's back?
Yes.
Back again. Taker's yes. Back. Tell a friend.
That would have made sense, right? He could have had that as his music. He's had Limp Bizkit in the past. Let's go ahead and write Kid Rock. Yep. Who are you missing? Your white, angry guys?
Did you want him coming on the cycle? Biker Taker is back?
Yes. To Eminem, though. We have to have him coming out to Eminem.
Yes, sure. Why not?
Yep.
I mean, it's great seeing Taker back. I mean, there's so many different things that are kind of like, you know, out there right now for directions that they can go. Things they could do, you know, between call-ups and whatever direction they want to go and possibly moving talent around.
You know what's really helpful for him? And the Undertaker's got a distinct advantage in the quote-unquote old man wrestler category in that his entrance already takes him a half an hour to get out there, so he doesn't even need a walker. He can just walk free without having to worry about the speed. You
see,
know?
People don't realize it. He's actually on those sneakers that have the roller skates on the bottom of them. That's what he's actually on.
That's why he's got the long, you know, jacket to go over, so you can't.
Yes,
see it.
You can't see it. I mean,
the only
knows.
Time he's ever had a fast entrance is A, when it was on the bike, or B, that one time he got caught on fire before Elimination Chamber. So
dear God, that was horrible, man.
Oh. That guy lost his job, right?
I think Taker, the story was something like Taker came to the back and said, "That guy's gone, right?" And I'm like, "Yep." And they said, "Good, because if I ever see him again, I'll kill him."
Jesus.
I mean, Taker goes to the ring and he's got third-degree burns on his body from pyro shooting up in his face, and he's taking water bottles and just dumping them all over himself. And next thing you know, he stays out there for 20 minutes. He's taking bumps.
Yep. He wrestled a good match. He finished that match against who was it that night that he lost?
I can't even remember, but I know his skin was turning purple.
Uh-huh. He lost to somebody that night. It was crazy. Yep. Crazy.
That was pretty nuts. Okay, so let's talk about something else that happened on Raw this happened on SmackDown. So on Raw, we saw the SmackDown talent come out there. The guys came out, but it was the Raw talent that got the upper hand. So on SmackDown, it was the women of Raw that showed up. And the women of Raw decided to do a 5-on-1 attack. Okay, because remember, it's not, hey, throw their differences to the side. It's all about the brand. It's all about the color. Are you red or are you blue? Are you Raw or are you SmackDown? But that also meant that the lovable Bayley was part of basically a gangland attack. Okay, she took part in a 5-on-1 attack. Bayley.
That's you know, there you go.
That's one of those. I know there's some people that are nitpicking about that, and that's perfectly fine. I understand it, and I disagree with the whole notion of the 5-on-1 and having Bayley out there. But I mean, you gotta, I'm not gonna get overly critical, but at the same time, you gotta pay attention to some details here. Now, I'm not saying you couldn't have the women interact, but you can't do a 5-on-1 attack and have the lovable Bayley be one of the five.
Yep. I agree. It doesn't work. They throw a lot of logic to the wind. I noticed in the backstage segment with the SmackDown tag teams last night that the Usos were basically making
jokes. Hey, buddies,
jokes.
Let's go hang out afterwards, you know, and let's go get an ice cream together.
Like, it just, I suspend my logic, my disbelief, because it's pro wrestling. But at some point, you can't ignore all of these things. The SmackDown brand is not strong enough to bring together these many competing forces, you know? So is the Raw roster, are they the heels? Or is it the SmackDown roster who is the heels?
It's whoever that you'd like, Michael.
Okay.
And see, that's the thing, because I wonder, too, like, okay, so obviously they've done this before, but everything is still under the WWE umbrella.
Yeah.
So do people really care about Raw or SmackDown? Do they care about one above the other to the point where they will, you'll see this rooting interest during the match? It doesn't even matter. I mean, are people really going to go like, man, I hate those guys over there on Raw? Because as a fan, you're sitting there going, I want to watch Raw. I want to watch SmackDown. I want to see good, entertaining programming. And I want to see the different talent. And there's going to be some people on each show that I like and why I go out of the way to watch them.
So here's my question. Okay, so I agree with you on that. Raw and SmackDown are on even footing in most wrestling fans' books, even though I think the majority of you know, as they call them, smart marks, probably think that SmackDown is a better show. If you were to put NXT up there as a third competing entity at Survivor Series, do you think fans would feel more passionately about NXT winning?
I think a pocket of fans would, but for the most part, no, because you would still be portraying that on, you know, Survivor Series, which is just, it's main talent, guys. And there's going to be a lot of people in NXT that people don't know yet. They haven't. You haven't experienced them yet.
Yes.
The casual fan, there's going to be a lot of them. They're going to go, who is this Ty Dillinger? Why does he think he's 10?
He's the perfect 10. He's not just 10. He's the perfect 10.
Who's this guy that thinks he's glorious?
That's old. Can you imagine if they put together a team? Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode.
Eric Young.
Eric. TNA.
Oh. I thought that's where you were going, man.
Oh, man. You could do it.
You got to represent sanity.
So who else could you put in there? Let's just bring Xavier Woods over and rebrand him as...
Consequences Creed?
Yeah, Consequences Creed. Yep.
AJ Styles is going to be in that group, right?
Yep, you're right. Oh, my Lord. This is getting good.
It's we a TNA invasion, man.
That's what you need to do. Let's just do it. They name something else. They call them NTA.
Mm. Could Christian be coming out of retirement so he could be part of the group?
Yes. Christian Cage. He calls himself Christian Cage, right?
What about Rhino? He was in TNA.
He's too busy being a representative now.
Hey, man. Well, no, he lost in that race.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He won.
No, the AP put out a report saying he won, and they were dead on wrong. They put it out too early. They lost. He lost. He lost 62-38.
No, the AP was wrong.
Yes. That's the funny thing. So Rhino ran for a state representative position in the state of Michigan as a Republican. And early that night of election night, the AP put out a story and they said he won. They were wrong, though. A couple hours later, the correction was made that Rhino lost 62% to 38%.
Oh, man. I've been living my life as a lie the last week.
You thought that Rhino won?
Yes. I thought it was so weird. I was like, this is awesome.
I think they would have made mention of that on television.
Well, you know, they're weird sometimes. Oh, breaking my heart here.
I'm sorry, man.
Professional wrestler Rhino fails to be elected to Michigan legislature alongside Donald Trump.
Mm. Terrence Guerin is not, you did not get office. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. I got to correct my whole memoir now. This is not good.
It's already been a tough enough couple of weeks, and then you got that. My God.
I actually had hope in America's future, and now it seems like... All I'm saying is if you can go from buying Monday Night Raw to being president, that's the path to success, it looks like. Mm. I'm doing it.
Well, he only bought it for like a couple of weeks. I think the whole thing of having it ad-free really screwed him over in the end.
Oh, the stocks tanked. Oh, that was the best thing ever. The next day, the stock went down because people thought Mr. Trump had actually bought Monday Night Raw.
Right. I love that. So they had to do the angle where he sold it back, which made no sense.
Yep. Yeah, remember Vince McMahon, he kept negotiating. He's like, I'll give you $1 million, $2 million.
Yeah.
Donald Trump's like, no.
And finally Trump's like, all right, I'll make that deal. Yep. So for whatever reason, Vince sold it and then bought it back for more money a few weeks later. Quite the businessman that Vince McMahon is.
What?
In that storyline.
And then at the end, he made Roman Reigns champion again, and everybody was happy. Success.
Hey, man, he's only lost $100 million trying to get Linda McMahon into Senate.
Oh, which one has a better chance in the future? Roman Reigns getting over or Linda McMahon getting into the Senate?
Oh, Roman, because she's not running for Senate again.
Oh.
Definitely, man. She's $100 million. They're like, that's it. She's lost twice. We're not doing that again. Now, it doesn't mean she's not going to be part of the government, but I don't think she's going to be an elected official for Senate.
Yeah, she's going to be Secretary of Commerce, right?
No, she might have a position in government, but she's not going to be that high up.
Secretary of Commerce.
That was the rumor, and it's not going to happen.
Okay. Well, if you say so. I would like to believe that the comatose Linda McMahon is going to be running commerce for the country, and I think is going to help make America great again.
If you say so. If you say so. So let's talk about the rest of Survivor Series. So... let's just run it down, okay? And we'll give some predictions.
That's a terrible show, man. A crappy Survivor Series, blah. Right?
We'll give some predictions.
You want to run it down, right? We just ran it down, so just talk bad about it.
We're going to give some...
That's my joke. I'm making a joke.
I know, you jerk. And I was about to say something nice about your boy, The Miz.
Uh-huh. Yep.
He's your Intercontinental Champion again.
Second best looking wrestler in the world because The Rock won People's Sexiest Man of the Year award.
That's true. He did. I love how everybody's now like spreading around the picture of him for when he first won like the Intercontinental Championship, and he still had like the frizzy hair and was wearing a fanny pack.
Yes.
And he's got the black turtleneck shirt on.
Yep.
Everybody's sexy. Like, there it is. Sexiest man alive. Oh, it's so great, man. Dude, I was bringing up these pictures. My wife saw one of him, and I go, this is from high school. And he, like, he had a full-blown mustache and everything. And she's like, high school? What the hell? I was like, he's like that kid that's on the pass and kick, you know, in the 13-year or younger category, and he's got a full-blown mustache. And you're like, wait a second, something's going wrong here. That was The Rock.
Oh,
so if The Rock ran for president in 2020, would you vote for him?
I need to know some policy first, man. I really do. I need to know a little bit more.
What if he ran on the platform that he was going to smack down the competition?
Oh, you can guarantee that's got to be like his platform line.
It would have to be something like that. People's champion. I want to be the people's president.
Like, there we go. The people's president. Or he could say, you know, I mean, that would be his campaign line, man. Doing it for the people.
Yeah. That's it. That's it.
There you go.
It could happen. If The Rock becomes president, does he appoint Vince McMahon to a chair in his presidency?
No. No, he's just like, would you call him President Rock?
Yes. Yes. President. What do you want to call him?
President The Rock? The President The Rock?
President.
Excuse me, President The Rock? Could you, he'd be the first president with a nickname before he came in office.
Have you seen this?
It's
really
not terrible. Like, you know, somewhere afterwards, you know, the great communicator, the great emancipator. He'd be the great smackdowner.
I love this. This is good. Vote for the people's champ from rock bottom to president. That's
there it is. There it is, man.
Oh, Lord. This is the future.
I don't even know if he's a Republican or a Democrat.
He's a Republican. He showed up at the convention like 15 years ago and told everybody to smack down their votes.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he was actually, when he was in WWE, he went to the Republican convention, and I heard he was registered a Republican.
He can't run in 4 years unless President Trump does not go for reelection.
So he'll be running in 4 years. We'll be good.
Well.
I'm trying to stay non-political on this.
Who knows? Maybe he'd switch party. I mean, you know, The Rock is good friends with President Obama. Maybe he says, I'm going to run on the other ticket.
Who would you put as a good running mate for The Rock? Let's see.
Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Who would be The Rock's White House tag team partner? See, they could call him. You have so many endless.
It can't be Mick Foley, then? My God.
Yes. The Rock and Sock connection for White House?
Sure, why not?
My God, this is it.
Can we bring policy? Back the Nation of Domination, you know? I don't know if people would go for that in today's D-Lo America. D-Lo is available, okay? D-Lo is available.
The Godfather.
Can you imagine? No. Imagine this. Imagine that The Rock comes out to speak. You know, what is the, why can't I think of the name of it? What's the annual speech that the president gives?
State of the Union.
Yeah, he gives a State of the Union. And you know how the vice president stands behind him? Okay, sits behind him? What if that's D-Lo and he's doing the head bobbing thing every time he agrees with something? Everybody stands up and he's just doing the head bobbing thing.
Beautiful. This is endless potential. I'm looking forward to it. 2020 is going to be a great year.
Will Jesse Ventura be jealous? Going, come on, what about me? I've been an elected official.
Oh, my gosh.
Hmm.
You went crazy on conspiracy theories, Jesse.
He's supposedly living in Mexico, and he changes his house every couple of weeks because the United States government is spying on him.
Well, that makes sense then. If the government spied on you, you probably want to change your house every couple of weeks.
I know at one point he did say that. I don't know if he's still doing that or not.
Do you reckon Hulk Hogan changes his house every couple of weeks because Bubba the Love Sponge is spying on him?
He's got drop cams everywhere.
Hulk Hogan's like, where did this teddy bear come from, brother?
Why am I always getting teddy bears in the mail? Somebody really likes me.
Where's Peter Thiel when I need him? I need to sue Gawker some more.
Let's bring that up real quick, and then we'll run down Survivor Series.
Survivor Series sucks. A terrible show.
So, Hulk Hogan, I've been saying this for a while, and now other people have been talking about it too, about him possibly coming back in the fold in WWE.
You gotta slide that in there, don't you? I've been saying this for a while.
You're damn right I've been saying it. I've been saying it for months, man, that I thought this would happen. Well, the lawsuit with Gawker has been settled, or at least the first one has, the big one. He's getting $31 million. And some people are thinking maybe that's helped paving the road to go back to WWE. Now, his daughter, Brooke, spoke with TMZ, and she had said, they're calling for him already. And so Hulk came out on Eric Bischoff's podcast and said, Brooke doesn't know what she's talking about. But who knows? I mean, do you think enough time will have passed and people accept him if he came back at WrestleMania?
Yep. I think we talked about how long it would take. And it seems like the moment is gone. And Hulk Hogan he's fine now, I guess. I guess we're all over him being a racist. So,
Well, here's the thing about that, too. Okay. So it'd be one thing if it was just the sex tape thing. Okay. Then it's like, all right, you've been embarrassed, whatever. But when it came to the racist language, that's the one that obviously makes it a lot tougher and tougher for people to forgive and forget.
Right.
And it's not like he's really been in the public eye to kind of make amends for that. I know he's gone out, he's made some apologies and whatnot, but other than that and going through with this trial, he really hasn't been in the public light. So I think there obviously could be some backlash because he made the comments no matter what, but has he really done enough to get people to forgive him for those comments?
It doesn't matter if nobody brings it up. I mean, I don't think he's done enough. I don't think he's addressed it in any kind of real and sincere way since then. He did right afterwards, right? You're caught. You cut with your hand in a cookie jar. I'm sorry, I'm picking the cookies. But he hasn't done much for that since then. But if nobody's bringing it up now, does it matter?
Well, you know what the thing is, though? If he gets advertised for WrestleMania,
yeah,
that's going to get brought up.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It's going to get brought up. So then it comes to, could you put him on WrestleMania without advertising him?
Wow, for forever? If he's coming
back. No, just for the first one back. So he comes back at WrestleMania 33. Okay. But what if the show is going to start, they sing America the Beautiful, and they go, here to kick off WrestleMania 33, special guest Hulk Hogan. And the Hulkster comes out. And then he goes in the ring and he says, I am so happy to be back, to be a part of WrestleMania 33. All my Hulkamaniacs, you stuck with me for so long. I've been around for so long, and I am so appreciative of that you have been with me through the thick and the thin, and now I am here for part of this grand event. It doesn't get any bigger than WrestleMania. I was a part of it for so many years, and now there's so much great talent, and this is going to be a great show. You're all going to have fun, and let's enjoy WrestleMania.
So I'm going to assume then that we're basically saying that Hulk Hogan is never going to wrestle again.
Correct.
Okay. That could be fun. I could see that happening, and it does get them around that little snafu of...
Well, maybe that's how they get around it, is that they don't advertise him, that people don't know that he's going to be there. Because otherwise, that's what people are going to be talking about before WrestleMania is, oh my God, they're going to put Hulk Hogan on there and the comments that he made. And that has the potential for casting a shadow over the event.
Yeah, I agree with that. They'd have to do something, because if you get him out there on Press Row, it's going to come up. You're right.
Now it has to come up.
It's going to come up on every single conversation. Yep. And it's a fair criticism. He said these things, and he's not done a whole lot of what's the word I'm looking for here?
He hasn't apologized enough. He hasn't made amends. He hasn't done enough things in the public to really show that, you know, he's apologetic for those comments, you know?
Yep.
I mean, and he needs to be held accountable for those comments. I mean, he needs to be under the gun with people asking about it, so that way he can apologize for more and he can look remorseful. And then it's up to people to decide if they want to believe him or not.
Yeah, I agree. It's dicey. I guess if you're WWE, what do you have at this point for bringing him back? Because at some point, Hulk Hogan becomes more of a liability than what he's worth. I get it. He is the biggest name as a professional wrestler of all time. But
and that's what it is. He's a special attraction. And that's what they try to do for WrestleMania, is put special attractions on there.
I don't know.
So it's,
I don't have an answer.
It's a tough situation, tricky. And it's all up to one guy. You know, it's all up to Vince McMahon.
I just want to see Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair finally settle their stellar score. That's all I want to see. So WrestleMania, Flair Hogan for the title.
The
I'm
war
all
to settle
that.
The score? Is that what you're saying?
The war to settle the score.
Hmm.
Hell in a cell.
They both will get buried in that one. So let's go over the card here for Survivor Series. So we've got The Miz, now the Intercontinental Champion, beating Dolph Ziggler to your delight on SmackDown. And by the way,
good match.
The Miz is still killing it. That dude, I mean, you can make an argument that that guy has been the best character for like the last couple of months.
Yep. I think adding Maryse to his repertoire has been a phenomenal change for him.
Yep.
They have great chemistry. Obviously, they have great chemistry in real life as well because they're married. It carries over. So
well, just because you're married doesn't mean you have great chemistry.
Well, that's true.
But it does help. You would think so.
It doesn't mean you have great chemistry on the air either. And I think they have been able to capture that in a bottle and bring it to SmackDown and bring it to the show in a meaningful way. So, and in the ring, he has upped his game. Working with Dolph Ziggler has been a big boon to The Miz and some of the other guys he's worked with coming up to Dolph Ziggler. But these last 2 months, you've seen The Miz improve his game week over week over week, and he's a solid in-ring performer. He's always been fine, but I think he's really good. I don't think he's the best. I don't think he's great, but he's really good.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think it helps that he's been in the ring with somebody to the level of Dolph Ziggler, and the fact that both of them have worked incredibly hard to make this feud work, and part of that is because they're good friends, you know? So, yeah. I mean, it all helps. And but The Miz, he's just been incredible with everything that he has done and resurrecting his career. But so he's going to be.
Well, what feud has been bigger on TV in the last, now that I think about it, since SummerSlam, what has been the biggest feud we've gone through? Like actual feud. I don't just mean
AJ Styles and James Ellsworth.
I mean, that's a pretty close. That's my feud of the lifetime, right? But what I mean, AJ Styles and I guess AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose. Also a SmackDown feud. That's
yeah, but
been
it, I mean,
big.
But it doesn't. It's not at the level of what we've done with Miz and Ziggler.
Charlotte, I guess Charlotte and Sasha would be, but that was a carryover from NXT. But the feud that's come up since then and has been consistent, best feud on TV on WWE programming outside of NXT would have to be these two.
I agree. I mean, Charlotte and Sasha has been intermittent because there was a time there where Sasha had, you know, was gone for weeks on end. So, yeah, I would definitely say Miz and Ziggler. So they're going to do Miz against Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. Whoever wins gets to take the title to their brand. So, and the same goes for Brian Kendrick is taking on Kalisto for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Uh-huh.
And whoever wins it not only gets the championship, but they get the whole division.
Oh, saddle up, boys. Could be going to SmackDown.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. I mean, I understand they use Kalisto for this because he's on SmackDown. But it's just so clunky the way this is being done because you had Brian Kendrick beat TJ Perkins. And now it sure seems like they're going to switch over the whole division to SmackDown. And it makes a lot of sense because this new 205 Live show that's going to be on the WWE Network, that's going to be featuring the Cruiserweights, that's going to be taking place immediately after SmackDown. So why would you have the Cruiserweights on Raw and on, then they would be taping after SmackDown. So just for, you know, the logistics of everything, it makes perfect sense to have them on SmackDown.
Okay. From a logistics, from a business standpoint, I get it, but SmackDown is so much like SmackDown's a better show than Raw. And it feels like it has a little bit of room to breathe. And you cram a whole division on there. I think it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt SmackDown a little bit.
It could, but I mean, we got to see exactly how do they utilize the division because it has to be better than what they've done on Raw.
That's true.
Now, so it looks like that could switch. So Do you think that automatically means that the Intercontinental Championship is going to switch over to Raw? Because then you'd have not only the World Champion and the Intercontinental Championship, but you'd also have the United States Championship all on that one show.
No, I don't. I think it would be a mistake for them to move that belt, because you still need a secondary championship on SmackDown. You need one on both shows.
Because the thinking is, okay, so the time that you filled up with the Cruiserweight division, that's going to be gone. So you can fill that up by doing something with the IC title.
But you already have a mid-card. Like, those titles essentially mean the same thing, you know?
Who knows? Maybe they could consolidate them at some point. But
bring back the hardcore title.
It's, don't go there.
The WCW hardcore title. I'm sorry. I said that. The WCW hardcore title has a legacy. You start fighting in the back and you work your way to the ring.
Right.
It's genius.
Yeah, it's genius. All right.
King of the Mountain title. So, man, listen. It's prestige.
Well, there's also a thought, too, when it comes to Miz winning that title and possibly losing it immediately, because, one, he's a heel, and, two, this would continue the feud between himself and Daniel Bryan, because the Miz has been in Daniel's face for so long, and now Daniel Bryan would have something to hold over him, saying, hey, you lost this championship to the other brand. We don't even have it anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Where do you go with that?
I don't know, because that's Daniel Bryan can't wrestle.
Right.
So let's see. Let's go over the elimination matches. So we've got the tag team match, which is the New Day, Sheamus and Cesaro, Gallows and Anderson, Enzo and Big Cass, and the Shining Stars against Slater and Rhino, the Hype Bros, American Alpha, the Usos, and then Breezango. That's okay. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting.
SmackDown. SmackDown wins it. SmackDown tag teams.
I would agree. I think American Alpha.
Okay. Are we calling who he thinks would actually
win
it?
He's going to actually win it.
I don't. I think he's Slater and Rhino.
Hmm.
Listen, Rhino won an election already. Winning a match.
He didn't win the election.
Not a big deal for
him. He lost that election. He lost by a wide margin.
Live in your reality. I live in mine. My politicians are all professional wrestlers, so have fun.
Okay, so the women, it's going to be Charlotte, Bayley, Nia Jax, Alicia Fox, and Sasha Banks with Dana Brooke in their corner. And they're taking on Nikki Bella, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, and Naomi with Natalya as their coach.
Raw women win.
Yeah, I think you're right. That one I could see kind of going either way. But yeah, that I'd lean towards Raw.
They have the deeper bench, and that's where they put the more of their focus because of Charlotte.
Well, see, this is where it's going to get some people, because when it comes to the men's elimination match, which is Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and Seth Rollins against AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, and Shane McMahon, I think Team Raw is going to win that match.
I agree.
So you have Raw win both of those matches. Mm-hmm. But SmackDown will get the Cruiserweight division.
Right.
Thrilling.
Right.
I think what they're going to do is... I'll tell you in a second. Lesnar against Goldberg, okay? Any scenario in where you see Lesnar does not win?
Yes.
And that is?
That is if this really is Goldberg's last match, right?
I think it is his last match.
If he
started getting banged up, then...
That's true. I just can't believe... they booked themselves between a rock and a hard place. I don't know. This is a part of me that believes... Goldberg's going to win.
How many times have we thought that, what they've done with Lesnar? And then Lesnar just tramples a guy. I'm not saying he's going to do that to Goldberg, but I mean, there's been plenty of times we thought that with Lesnar, and Lesnar's won. Or even when Lesnar had his first match back, and we're like, oh, man, he's got to be John Cena.
Yeah, but, okay, there's a difference here. I guess the big difference is that he's wrestling a guy who needs a win this time as badly as he does. you can't bring somebody back like this and have a dirty finish. I don't know. I just have issues with the whole thing.
Well, they could do some where Goldberg looks like he's going to win, and then he just doesn't. Lesnar powers out, and
that's what I think.
Lesnar has to hit him with like three F5s, you know.
I think what happens, the only way Goldberg wins, is if A, it's his final match, so you're not planning on giving him redemption somewhere else down the road, okay? Mm-hmm. Because if it's not his final match, he loses outright. It makes sense. But if he's not coming back for another match at Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, he has to win this, but I think there ends up being some kind of screwy finish that distracts Brock Lesnar that causes Lesnar causes Goldberg to get the win.
That's the only way I could see Lesnar losing, is some kind of screwy finish. But even then, that does not make sense to me, because they have invested so much time and effort and everything into Lesnar the last couple of years, and to throw it away by a screwy finish or losing to Goldberg what might be his final match, it just does not make any sense to me.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. So I think what can happen is Raw beats SmackDown, and then that, and just hear me out here.
Okay.
So Taker has already said, I'm going to be pissed at you if you lose, right?
Right.
Well, what if it's AJ Styles that loses that match and says, I'm pissed at you, AJ, and I'm so pissed at you, we're going to have a match at the Royal Rumble for your championship.
You mean after he beats Dean Ambrose at TLC?
Correct.
Okay.
And then, so now you've got another special attraction to add to the Rumble. Taker wins the championship.
Oh, no.
And then now he's going to WrestleMania.
Oh, no. John Cena. I see it coming. I see where you're going.
And remember, Cena's going for that all-so-elusive championship to beat Ric Flair.
Oh.
And who has he never faced at Mania?
Roman Reigns. Roman, no.
So.
That's your WrestleMania dream match right there. Roman Reigns and John Cena.
There you go. Who doesn't like that? Come on.
No matter who wins, we all lose.
I threw out like this fictitious WrestleMania card of where I thought they were going.
Okay.
On Twitter here tonight. In fact, let me try to bring it up here, because I'm too dumb to remember it off the top of my head. And there was a lot of people like questioning it, like, oh, well, why don't you have Taker against AJ? Taker against Cena on there. And I said, hey, man, it's just the direction I think they're going. I don't think it's necessarily the matches they're, you know, that I want to see. This is what I think they're going to do. So here we go. Is that where it is? That's not it. Let me go back down farther. There we go. Okay. So Undertaker against
Ryan. Come on, get your crap
trying
together.
Trying to just together, okay? So Shane McMahon against Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
It's John Cena against AJ Styles.
Okay.
Big Show against Shaquille O'Neal.
Of course.
Charlotte versus Bayley versus Sasha.
Okay.
Undertaker versus Randy Orton. Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins versus Triple H.
Do you think they'll wait that long to put Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns together? Because it seems like they're heading straight towards roadblock with that one.
Yeah, that's going to be a roadblock, which I wasn't thinking when I put this out there. So I could be dead wrong already. I could have been dead wrong anyway. This is just hypotheticals.
Sure.
Because Roman Reigns is still going to be in a big match. It's just we don't know what match. So, I mean, I guess the changes to this could be they could go that route that I said with when it comes to Taker. Maybe he won't face Orton. Maybe Orton, this whole thing with him and the Wyatt family is a ruse. There is a belief that it's not, that he really is part of the Wyatt family. So that way it sets up a match between him and Taker, because they know each other and they trust each other, considering Taker's age. He's going to be 52 by the time Mania comes around, even though they've done that match at WrestleMania before.
Yeah.
I would rather see something different. Shane against Brock is the one that's really going to get people talking, going, oh boy, here we go, because you could do the potential Brock against Kevin Owens.
It's a waste of Brock's spot. That seems like a Monday Night Raw match, not a WrestleMania match.
Well, it's Super Shane O'Mac, you know? I mean, as much as people did not like seeing him go back and forth with Taker last year, imagine if we see him do any kind of back and forth with Brock Lesnar.
Lord. Unless he gets dominated, that should be a 30-second match, you know?
So, I mean, there's a lot of different directions they could go. I mean, I feel very, very comfortable in one match right now. And that's Shaq against Big Show.
Yeah.
Actually, I feel comfortable in two matches. That and Seth Rollins against Triple H.
I don't know if I would say I feel comfortable with anything about Shaq versus Big Show, but it's going to happen.
Of the ones I feel the best that are going to happen, I would say Shaq and Big Show and Seth Rollins against Triple H.
Okay. Yep.
I think The Rock is going to be on that show. I don't think he's going to wrestle, but I think he will be on that show. I think Conor McGregor is going to make an appearance at WrestleMania.
Okay. I can buy that.
I don't think he's going to wrestle, but
well, he won't be able to. He'll have five belts by then, and he'll be the champion.
He'll be weighted
division.
Down too much, right?
Right, right.
But I think he'll be on that show. He'll make some kind of an appearance, and he'll trash talk somebody. Or what if it was The Rock and Conor McGregor trash talking one another?
That would be freaking insane.
What if they were trash talking each other, and then somebody came out and tried to trash talk them, and they teamed up and they did a move to somebody where Conor hit him with the left hand and then Rock hit him with the people's elbow, and then they left together and everybody was happy. I've watched wrestling before.
Yeah.
I've watched wrestling before. Maybe they should do that to Chris Jericho.
Conor McGregor, it would be a heel. Like, if he came to WWE, he is a heel through and through and through.
But can you imagine, like, a 10-minute, like, verbal back and forth between Conor McGregor and The Rock?
That would be crazy.
I mean, how many F-bombs would that dude be dropping?
Yeah, TVPG has gone out the window by that point.
Could you
right?
imagine, though, if they did that? And I want to see Chris have a much better role. But can you imagine if somebody like Jericho came out and, like, disrupted that or something?
Yep.
Because, I mean, because he would sell it.
Yeah.
He would sell it better than anybody, probably. So,
yeah. Interesting.
Just throwing it out there, man.
Yeah. I'm fine with just selling. I can handle it.
Who do you want to see Taker face a Mania?
I was never convinced by this idea a couple years ago when it first got rumored, but I think I'd like it now. Taker versus John Cena brings us full circle in a really important way to both guys' careers, especially John Cena's. When they showed the clip last night, I immediately turned to my wife and said, they're setting up Taker versus Cena at WrestleMania. It just seemed like that's the direction they're moving, and I would like to see that match at this point. And I think John Cena could handle Taker from a safety standpoint. I don't want to put Taker in there with some new young guy. I think that's a mistake. And while I like Shane McMahon, I don't take him seriously as the next big wrestling thing, you know?
I agree with you. And, I mean, I would rather see – I would like to see Taker against Cena. And, you know, I don't know if they'd even – think about doing that scenario that I laid out with Taker actually having the championship again, but then it gives some extra oomph to that match. Not that they necessarily need it, but you know, the streak is over. It's two of these huge personalities, and you know, kind of this mega match, you know, at that show. But then you've got the title on the line, and plus there is the heightened importance because of how many times Cena has won the championship.
That's
why people have talked
about. And that's a WrestleMania moment, right?
WrestleMania moment. And that's why people have talked about, like, AJ Styles against John Cena as well. And, like, you could do that afterwards. I mean, we've seen that match already. But Taker, I mean, this way you would get a Taker-AJ Styles match as well.
Yeah.
Which would be crazy watching AJ Styles just take freaking bump after bump for Taker.
And I think you let Taker go out on a high note. He doesn't have to win, but having a match with a modern day veteran who he helped kind of put over that very first night on SmackDown with John Cena, that's huge, dude.
Oh, absolutely. So I mean, it's coming in shape. I mean, we're starting to see some signs for for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see the picture coming together. I mean, who knows? Maybe we're dead wrong, but I think we're starting to see some of it, you know, and we'll see where they go. Quickly, let's talk about TakeOver.
Okay.
Saturday night, Toronto. Okay, so we've got the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Authors of Pain against TM61. Paul Ellering suspended over the ring inside a cage. This is shades of like 1980.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Is he going to be breaking out like the superstar Billy Graham blonde handlebar mustache that he once had, too?
Yep. And then at some point or another, Vince Russo is going to show up, and they're going to put a pink slip on a pole.
Oh, God. Will Judy Bagwell be on
pole?
Judy
Bagwell will appear inside the crate or inside the cage. Above
God almighty. The Authors of Pain are going to win this match, right?
Yes, I think so.
They put so much into those guys, I think they're going to.
Makes sense. It's a logical next step for a team like that.
Okay, so, and I know some people have said, hey, man, maybe this show just doesn't look as exciting as some other takeovers, which I agree with, but there are a couple of big matches on this show. One of them is the Revival against Gargano and Ciampa in a 2 out of 3 falls match, which should be ridiculously good. Mm-hmm. Now,
the revival wins. Tomko and Ciampa turn on each other. It's time. It is time.
I don't want to see them turn on each other.
It's time.
I kind of want to see Gargano and Ciampa on the Cruiserweight division on SmackDown.
Yeah, well.
But they could be on both, though. Couldn't they be Cruiserweights there and also be at NXT as a tag team?
It's a good transition strategy for guys. You don't always have to have them win the NXT championship. Have them appear on both for a couple of weeks before moving on up to the main roster. Get acclimated and then do it, you know?
I'm still going to pick them to win the tag titles.
Okay, I disagree. I'm out.
That's fine. You want to be wrong? You can be wrong.
I want to be more right than you.
Mm-hmm. So Bobby Roode is taking on Ty Dillinger.
Perfect 10.
This Bobby match Roode. Is all about the intros, right?
Yep, it is. It is. Bobby Roode, all the way through.
I will say Bobby as well, but I'm not going to be surprised if Ty Dillinger wins.
No. I think you could work that either way.
The time has come where they need to do something more with Ty. It's more than come. So
the
hopefully
perfect
they do.
10.
They're doing Asuka against Mickie James. It's obvious that Asuka is going to win this match. The question is going to be whether or not Mickie James stays around after the match. Like, do they hire her for NXT? Do they hire her as a trainer? Do they hire her for the main roster? I mean, she's already let it be known. She would love to get a gig there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good story, but I'm with you. I think Asuka wins it. And Mickie James moves into a behind-the-scenes role. I could see that.
The question that they have to deal with right now is getting more women and doing more with the women that they have there to build them up into being credible threats to Asuka, because right now she is that division. There is nobody else.
Everybody else left to go to Raw or SmackDown.
Right. And then they're doing Shinsuke Nakamura against Samoa Joe for the NXT Championship.
Nakamura. Not good. It's the only one that makes sense. That's the match that makes sense.
It does. And they've done an incredible job in building up that rematch. You know, Joe injuring Nakamura and thinking that he's out. Give me my title. And next thing you know, Nakamura comes back early and he's, you know, having a hell of a fight with Joe and chasing him all over the building. And then they did the signing where Joe stayed up on the ramp and had a table there and was putting his feet up and chilling out and everything. And, you know, throwing it in Regal's face. Did a good job with that.
It's been a good feud.
Absolutely, you know, and they're going to have a great match.
It's had a little bit of an old school feel to it, which is what I like. I love these kind of old school feeling feuds that are, you know, I've enjoyed it quite a bit.
So on Monday night, I could not go because I am the producer for UCF Athletics. I'm the radio producer. But Monday night was the UCF basketball opener. And for anybody that went to the game here in Orlando, it was a home game for the Knights. You could have gotten out there to meet the stars of NXT and get free autographs and pictures.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Who was there? DIY, a.k.a. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
Yep.
The Revival, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, who were very friendly with everybody, but then if you wanted to take a picture with them, they would not look at the camera. They would look at you, frown, and give the thumbs down. So they would be heels.
That's awesome.
And then I love that this is just like over at the UCF Arena on the campus that all these people are coming out there to watch basketball. They're like, hey, there's some wrestlers over here. So those guys are there. Asuka's there. And Shinsuke Nakamura is there.
Really?
Nakamura's there saying autographs. There's so many people that are probably like, hey, look at this guy, man. He's a wrestler. How about that? And like, they don't even realize it's freaking Nakamura.
That's crazy, dude. Here, show up to this random college basketball game. Have fun.
Yeah, they're out there before the game, and there's like a line like, hey, there's some wrestlers over there. Let's go meet them.
That's funny as crap, dude.
Yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura is there signing autographs.
But you do, you like pull out the college wrestling team to do that kind of crap, right? Not professional wrestlers.
No, they're trying to build a relationship between UCF and NXT.
That's, well, I mean, I guess it works.
And this was like, hey, if you want to come, this is another reason. Like, you could only, if you had to buy a ticket to the game to meet the wrestlers, because they were signing autographs for like a half hour or 45 minutes before the game, like up until the start of the game. So you had to go in the building, you know, so you had to buy a ticket to get in the building, and then you could go meet the stars of NXT. I wonder if anybody just bought a ticket just so they could meet the wrestlers and then they left.
If you did, please contact us. I'm at The Real Wiseman on Twitter. Tweet me directly. Let me know if you bought a ticket to go to that game just to see the stars of NXT.
I was joking with somebody else going, can you imagine that, like, if somebody doesn't really follow NXT that close? I'm like, they don't realize, like, Shinsuke Nakamura is there signing autographs?
Yeah.
Like, who this dude is? It's just like, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. He's only, like, one of the best performers of the last 10 or 15 years.
My Lord.
That's amazing. Just amazing.
That's
so
that's a good fact.
Yep. Let's wrap up on one last thing. Okay. Let's talk some TNA.
Oh, I was going to talk some UFC. Talk a little Notorious.
Okay. We'll do that first then.
We mentioned him earlier in the show, but there was a record-breaking moment, history-making moment in UFC this past weekend at UFC 205. First off, it was the first event from New York, which is pretty cool, right?
The first event from Madison Square Garden. First UFC event from Madison Square Garden. They've been in New York before, but it was like UFC 5 or something.
They didn't go back for some reason, right? Like,
well, they couldn't because it wasn't legal in the state. It was banned in the state, so they got legislation finally approved.
And I was more talking about modern UFC. Like, UFC 5 was a totally different beast.
It was something. I don't know if it was – I think it was 5 or around there. But, yeah, in modern age, definitely. It's the first time the company's ever been at the Garden, though.
And the first time, of course, at the Garden. And then they had, of course, title fight. The main event, Conor McGregor became the first ever two-class champion. He owns two belts in the UFC at one time, which has never happened in the history of UFC.
It's incredible.
How crazy,
man,
is that?
He went out there to face Eddie Alvarez, and people thought this is going to be a really, really tough fight.
Eddie Alvarez is legitimate. I mean,
he's fantastic.
Eddie Alvarez is legit.
And he's never been knocked out. He's never been stopped, right?
Right.
I mean, he has lost 3-4 times going into that fight, but it's been a while since he, you know, he's an extremely good fighter. And McGregor went out there, and the things that you notice are he doesn't just have this confidence outside of the octagon. It's inside the octagon as well. He is so confident in his abilities. He is so confident in that he can see holes in somebody else that the average Joe does not see.
Right.
And the other thing he's extremely confident about is he can take a punch. He is willing to stand there and get close and get in range and say, I will take your best shot. I know I can take it, but I don't think you can take my best shot.
Right.
It's just incredible to watch him go out there and just pop Alvarez with these left hands over and over and finished him in the second round. That, I mean, and Conor took just a couple of punches, but nothing major. It was incredible.
It was a good match. And then I loved the post-fight interview that Joe
Rogan
did.
Give me my bleeping belt!
Yep, just begging for that second title. Show off. You know, he is just the ultimate heel.
He was yelling at Dana before they put the new title on him.
Yep.
before he won, he wins the welterweight title, and they're about to make the announcement, and he's yelling at Dana, "Go get my other championship. Yep. Where is it at?"
Yep. It was a big moment. It was a really cool thing to see. It was a fun fight. The whole show was pretty good.
Did you like Connor doing the Vince McMahon billionaire strut when he got into the octagon?
Classic Connor. He just gets in the heads of his opponents. He brought pro wrestling to UFC. Even the press conference, he picked up a chair. Like, what? Who does that?
I love that he didn't want to get in trouble and get fined again by the Athletic Commission.
Right.
So all he did at this press conference, because, I mean, I think him and Eddie were in on it. Like, hey, we got to do something to really get people talking about this.
Yeah.
All he did was pick up a chair. All Eddie Alvarez did was he picked up a chair, folded it up, and literally threw it behind Connor. Like, literally just almost laid it down behind him. Like, just kind of lightly tossed it. And Connor freaked out and picked up his chair while he's wearing his $20,000 mink coat. Like, and he's got the chair and acting like he's going to throw it when he never was. I mean, it's just great hype work. And somebody was saying, and I don't know if there's any truth to this, somebody was saying that the price tags were still on that mink coat because he was going to return it after the presser. Which I can't blame him, man. It's like a $20,000 coat. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Connor can afford it, but at the same time, it's just like, hey, sometimes you just want to have something look nice for one occasion and you take it back. So,
I mean, but if you can afford it, don't be a douche. Don't do that.
Why not? Take it back.
Come on,
man.
Connor. Come on, Connor.
Not like you spilled wine on it or anything. Got a blood stain on it. Let's wrap up with TNA. That's quite the phrasing.
Let's end on a high note.
Let's end on a high note there. So, Anthem Sports and TNA are settling the lawsuit with Billy Corgan. So Billy said flat out, "I'm settling." He's getting his money, so he's going to get at least $1.9 million, which is the money he's owed to him. Billy has made it known that he believes he's owed like another $800,000, which is something that Anthem and TNA have disagreed with. But Billy still has not done an interview yet, so we do not know exactly the terms. And once he does speak with somebody or multiple outlets, we'll find out what the terms are. I am very curious to see if part of that is he cannot go forward with a lawsuit about this. But this is going to be something that hurts TNA from the standpoint there was a lot of talent that was behind Billy Corgan. He definitely wanted to take things in a different direction and freshen it up. Whether it would have worked or not, I don't know, but at least it would have been different. I think him being involved in that creative team definitely helped. I won't give him all the credit for everything, but I'm sure it helped. I think it's a bit demoralizing for some of the talent there to know that he is going to be gone. There's already been one repercussion, and that Dave Lagana is gone from the creative team, and he was definitely in Billy's corner. And the common belief is that he quit because he knew it was not going to be pleasant for him there because everybody knew he was a supporter of Billy. And maybe he would have gotten fired. We don't know. But he's not going to be with the company anymore. And they're going to be going forward under this new structure with Anthem. And we'll see exactly what they're going to do. I mean, there is a thinking that they're only going to tape maybe four times a year now. And they might change their format. They might do it more like it's a movie. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, we're probably going to see some more changes in TNA. And who's not to say that we're not going to see some more turnover at the company because there are some contracts coming due, either at the end of the year or shortly thereafter.
It is sad that Billy Corgan is not with the company anymore because it seemed like that was the company's chance to really turn over a new leaf. And I worry we're back to status quo with TNA. Even if they go to a four-time-a-year taping schedule to save money, how do we make sure TNA breaks out of that status quo and has something interesting to add to the professional wrestling landscape? I don't know. Maybe the new owners do. Maybe Dixie Carter can give her 2 cents just for fun and games and do that. But we have a company who lost the chance for something new, I feel like. And I'm worried TNA is just going to suffer as a result.
I totally agree. You know, and I think there's going to be a lot of guys that are really disappointed. I mean, the professionals that go out there, they'll do their job, but they liked having Billy there because he did bring a different perspective.
Yeah.
And that's gone. And I mean, this entire thing, going through the court system has been an absolute mess and an embarrassment to TNA. And I will once again say the same thing I said a couple weeks ago. Get your act together, pay your bills, act like a real company, and see what happens. It's an uphill battle. It's going to be very tough for them. We know that. They definitely need a better TV deal if they can get it. Much easier said than done. They have to find new ways to generate revenue, but they need to do a better job of, you know, acting like a real business. I mean, with Anthem, that company's got money, and they can help them, you know, catch up on everything. And I hope they do, because pay off your debt, everybody. You know, don't have all these different companies and, you know, pissed off at chasing you in courts for their money that they're owed. And
if you hear nothing else we say tonight, just hear this. Pay off your debts.
Yeah, pay off your debts, man. You know, don't be those guys that are squirming out on, you know, paying your bills. And it hurts it just hurts the promotion, too, when you're looking at, there's going to be some businesses that don't want to work with them because they have a horrible reputation. It's like, get the business side squared away and then continue to build on what you've done creatively and see what happens. I wonder what the creative direction is going to be, because now you don't have Dave Lagana there. You don't have Billy Corgan there. I don't know what's going to be. There's been some talk about them adding other wrestlers to the creative team. I'm not exactly sure who, other than I've heard James Storm.
Huh, okay.
But it could be one guy. It could be three people. I don't know. I don't know what kind of ideas anybody would have or what they have on their mind, but there's a lot of things that are up in the air when it comes to TNA. You know, get this thing with Billy settled, look in the rearview mirror, and go forward. And TNA's going to survive. I mean, we thought that. I mean, we said that. We were like, hey, it looks bad, but how many times have we said that about TNA? Until they're gone, I won't believe they're gone.
Right.
So, and that's good for, you know, the business. It's good for, you know, the boys to have another place to work. And I just hope they take advantage of it.
It could still be a fresh start. It could still be a new beginning. It does not feel quite as clean of a break. But I hope the best comes out of this for both the talent and the company. And the company that owns them now with Anthem. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's been a mess. Please don't be a mess anymore. And please put on some good, entertaining shows. That's all we ask for. We don't ask for too much, do we?
No, we ask for a few things. And that $5 to buy TNA is still out there if they change their mind about any of that, too. So
it's a crisp $5 bill. Just wait.
I'll
for
even them. Throw in a ham sandwich,
whoa,
man. Ham sandwich. Ready to go.
Is that a Boar's Head ham sandwich? Or are we talking something a little bit more low-key?
Boar's Head's pretty expensive. Oscar Mayer, is that okay?
Hey, it's not those me you're farms. Asking. It's them. I was going to say salami sandwich, you know. I don't know.
Well, it's a hard meat, you know. It's pretty good.
There you go. Well, we appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast. iTunes, Stitcher. You can rate and review us there. You can also find us on the Google Play app. We're on TuneIn as well. And we're on SoundCloud, where you can download it or you can listen to it right there on the SoundCloud website, or you can even embed the player and share it with all of your dear friends and family members. But please rate and review the podcast no matter what. And we appreciate everybody again for listening. Please follow us on Twitter. You can go to at Between the Ropes. Michael is at The Real Wiseman, and I am at Brian Fritz. So appreciate everybody for checking us out, for listening to the podcast. And we'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Hey, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.